This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carol Van Dam, and here's what's coming up.
So our staying in power always jeopardize the collective interests of everyone. And I definitely commend the government of Macky Sall.
That's Babacar Gaye, a Senegalese who's happy to hear President Macky Sall will not pursue a third term in office. Also, fierce battles broke out today across Omdurman, the western part of Sudan's capital, and the U.S. marks the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. After years of speculation, Senegalese President Macky Sall surprised many people last night when he announced he would not seek a third term in office. The decision is a win for democracy in West Africa, where countries have gravitated toward authoritarianism in recent years. Annika Hammerschlag reports from Dakar, Senegal.
Speaking in a televised address from the presidential palace in Dakar, President Macky Sall said he knew his decision would come as a surprise.
Le Sénégal dépasse ma personne.
He says, Senegal is bigger than me, and it is full of leaders who are also capable of pushing the country towards development. He says, I have a code of honor and a sense of historical responsibility that commands me to preserve my dignity and my word. Since taking office in 2012, Sall has stymied press freedom, cracked down on peaceful protests, and jailed political rivals. Mumadou Sam, a driver of Senegal's Clando cars, or informal taxis, said it was refreshing to see an African leader willingly step down from office. He says he's impressed with Sall's graceful exit, but that the move comes too late. Too many people have needlessly died, but at least Sall is ending his reign on a high note, he says. Sall's main opponent, Ousmane Sonko, spent the last 2 years on trial on a rape accusation, charges his supporters say were fabricated to prevent him from running in the February 2024 election. In March 2021, Sonko's arrest ignited violence that led to the deaths of 14 people. In early June, Sonko was acquitted of the rape charge, but was instead sentenced to 2 years in prison for corrupting youth, making him ineligible to run. The unrest that followed led to the deaths of 28 people, according to Amnesty International. Protesters expressed anger not just over the ruling, but over Sall's repeated refusal to state whether he would run for a third term. Senegalese presidents are entitled to two terms. However, in 2016, Sall made a constitutional revision to term lengths that many feared he would use to justify a third run. During his candidacy, Sall vowed not to seek a third mandate, but has recently been vague about whether his stance had changed. Hélène Tine is a member of the opposition and a former deputy with Senegal's National Assembly.
Je salue sa décision de respecter ses engagements.
I applaud this decision to honor his commitment, she says. The president has set the bar very high to show the entire world that Senegal intends to remain an exemplar of democracy. Senegal had been widely considered as an outlier in West Africa, which has seen a decline in democracies and a rise in coups in recent years. But Senegal's positive reputation began to slip during Sall's time in office. Alioune Tine is the founder of Dakar-based research group, the Africa Jom Center, and the former Amnesty International Director for West and Central Africa. It's a relief. It's a bomb that's been deactivated, he says. I think the whole region was indeed waiting for Senegal to really light up the road to democracy in Africa. Though a sense of relief and calm has blanketed the country, citizens now await the fate of Sonko, who has been blockaded inside his home by government security forces since the June 1st verdict, awaiting arrest. Annika Hammerschlag for VOA News, Dakar, Senegal.
The State Department says the United States applauds Sall's decision not to run for another term, saying it sets an example for the region in contrast to those who seek to erode respect for democratic principles. The Biden administration has been trumpeting its support of democracy in Africa, with Senegal considered a key U.S. partner. Reporter Alpha Jallo spoke with some voters after Sall's announcement, including this man, Babacar Gaye, who was pleased.
I think I would say it's a very welcome and a very positive reaction, because this is something that we have been eagering for, and this is something that democratically we have been expecting of any democratically elected government. You know, Africa is moving in a space where we need to lay the foundation, and I think his move definitely solidified the effort, the collective effort of the masses, to ensure that democratic institutions are strengthened. in order to see that the process, a process where no government or no president will think of overstaying in power, because we believe that power corrupt and absolute power definitely corrupt absolutely. So overstaying in power always jeopardize the collective interest of everyone. And I definitely commend the government of Macky Sall.
However, the Sall supporter told Reuters News that she was not happy with the president's decision. For more coverage on President Macky Sall's decision, please check out voaafrica.com. Fierce battles broke out today across Omdurman, that's the western part of Sudan's capital, as Amnesty International called for neighboring countries to help provide safe passage for those fleeing the fighting there. The call comes as the army tries to cut off supply routes used by its paramilitary rivals to bring reinforcements into the city. Witnesses told Reuters News that there were ground battles in several parts of Omdurman and posted footage showing pilots ejected from a fighter jet that allegedly was shot down by the rapid support forces. There's no immediate response from the army. Amnesty is calling for countries along Sudan's border to provide refugees with immediate access to asylum registration, even if they lack travel documents or visas. Hospitals in Sudan say they're approaching a breaking point as fighting rages on between the army and the paramilitary RSF. VOA's Nabil Biagio reached Dr. Safa Ali, who is a medical consultant at the Saudi Maternity Hospital, the only maternity hospital in Omdurman that remains open, and now the scene of intense fighting as the warring factions battle it out for control of the town. She says her team is taking serious risks to perform cesarean section surgeries despite the nearby fighting and rapidly shrinking supplies, because pregnant women in that city have nowhere else to turn.
They're working in extremely complex conditions due to the hospital location, being very close to clashed sites. We hear gunshots and shells, which sometimes end up falling inside the hospital premises. This hospital is now the only working maternity hospital in Omdurman, so patients have no other way but to make it here, no matter how far, risky or dangerous it is.
We have reports that fighting took place near the Saudi hospital in Omdurman, like you said, which is one with the only hospital that's operational in Omdurman. How did the fighting impact your work at the hospital?
Yes, as I said, we work here very close to clash site. But thankfully, the road was safe today for patients to arrive. But yesterday it was very tough due to the conflicting rights outside the hospital, which eventually led to the death of a citizen and one of the cleaning workers of the hospital.
Tell me about medical supplies at the hospital. We know that a lot of hospitals around the country and in Khartoum are running out of supplies, and even doctors, like the hospitals, are not well staffed. Tell me about supplies and the staff you have at your hospital.
Unfortunately, equipment and consumables are about to run out due to high command, despite the aid we have received from international organizations. We also need fuel due to power out gas. We are very thankful for people who helped us. There is a lot of organization which will help us in this situation, like Tabla, and some people help us to Munozamat, I think, help us to run out our work.
For the health system in Sudan not to collapse completely or break down, what is needed, what is urgently needed from the international community or from aid organizations What is needed to stop this crisis?
I urge all international organizations around the world and Sudanese people living abroad to aid the hospital and send us donation as soon as possible in every way to stop the health system from reaching a point of collapse.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
That was Dr. Safa Ali, a medical consultant at the Saudi Maternity Hospital in the Omdurman suburb of Sudan's capital, Khartoum, speaking with my colleague, Nabil Biagio. One man has died in clashes between residents of the Tunisian city of Sfax and migrants from elsewhere in Africa. A spokesman for the city's court said police have arrested three Cameroonians suspected of killing the 40-year-old Tunisian on Monday. Reuters News says the killing followed two nights of violent clashes in Sfax, with police firing tear gas to break up the two sides. Last month, hundreds of residents protested disorderly behavior by migrants and asked that they be deported. The migrants say they are subjected to racist harassment by some residents. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, head over to voaafrica.com. There you will find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. Amnesty International says security forces, separatist rebels, and ethnic militiamen have committed atrocities in Cameroon's troubled northwest region, one of two Anglophone regions seeking independence from the French-speaking nation. Amnesty's new report highlights alleged crimes by militias in the area from the Mboro community, which is made up of Fulani herders. It says armed separatists have targeted the population in part because they're perceived as supporting the authorities in power. The report also documents what it says are killings, rapes, and property destruction by the defense and security forces. It also says authorities are attempting to silence human rights defenders, activists, and lawyers speaking out against atrocities. Armed separatists also threaten those exposing their crimes. The international crisis group Think Tank says the conflict has claimed around 6,000 lives and has forced more than 1 million people from their homes. Today, Americans are celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Many will end the national holiday by watching a fireworks display. Tens of thousands of such displays will go off just after dark, many large ones sponsored by governments, while others will be unlicensed neighborhood events. Last year, some 10,000 people in the country were hurt in fireworks-related activities. 11 people died. Mitchell Canry, fire marshal in the nation's capital here in the District of Columbia, home to one of the largest shows, says people should take precautions around fireworks.
In our area, Maryland, Virginia area, there's a lot of professional displays that are going on. Obviously, the National Mall has a large celebration on the 4th. We think that that is the best way to experience the fireworks. It's in a controlled setting. These are licensed and permitted events. They all take proper safety precautions, and that's the best way to experience the fireworks, right? Leave the devices to the professionals. We want anybody that's using their own fireworks to know the laws where they are. In the district, only certain types of fireworks are legal. I know in Maryland, a large part of the jurisdictions, they're illegal. So it's very important to know the local laws where exactly you are. And even though you might be using legal fireworks or fireworks that are permitted, that doesn't necessarily mean they're safe, right? So even fireworks that are permitted to be used can be very dangerous. Some general recommendations are never letting children use them, even a sparkler. Sparklers can burn more than 2,000 degrees. So we don't want children to handle any of these devices, no matter how tame they might seem or how safe they might look. Leave that to the adults.
If you had to boil it down, what is, because people get confused in some areas that are just outside of D.C., they're illegal, but like you said, they're sort of legal in the D.C. area. What is the rule about fireworks in the nation's capital?
Yeah, so in the district, anything that moves, explodes, shoots a projectile, anything like that would be illegal.
Say you're a person, you're in D.C., and you hear a bunch of fireworks going off, and they sound pretty large, and you know that they're not a public display. What do you do?
Yeah, so we get a lot of calls. Obviously, the 4th of July is very busy for the department. We get lots of calls for fireworks that are heard. If the public has any concerns, they can obviously reach out. We would recommend calling 311. If you just hear fireworks or if you're concerned about the noise, there's several ways to get in touch with the Fire Prevention Division, which is calling our arson tip line, which is 202-673-ARSON. And then also on the department's website, which is fems.dc.gov, there is an anonymous tip form where you can give us all the information that's available about location or any other concerns, and we can follow up on that. Obviously, if there's an active fire, or if there's concerns about safety, or anything like that, we want everybody to call 911 and notify both the fire department and the police department.
This isn't just a lot of warnings. I mean, people have really gotten injured by these kinds of fireworks, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we see injuries every year due to fireworks. You know, unfortunately, in the district, we typically have around a dozen injuries every year, and that ranges from minor things like smoke or projectiles in the eyes to much more significant events like portions of hands or fingers being blown off, or unfortunately, we've had fatal incidents in the past where people have actually been killed due to fireworks.
That is Mitchell Canary. He's Fire Marshal and Deputy Fire Chief for the District of Columbia. He was speaking with me here in Washington. Cameroonian American Elizabeth Nintai is the recipient of the prestigious title of Fourth Princess of Miss Africa USA. She uses her platform to share her personal journey and advocate for the empowerment of women as they discover their true, authentic selves. Nintai enlisted in the U.S. Army upon completing her nursing degree, serving on active duty status for 8 years. She joined VOA red carpet host Jackson Mvunganye to talk about her journey, the relevance of beauty pageants these days, and what the 4th of July celebrations mean to her.
Make the case for beauty pageants. Okay. Why are beauty pageants
important
in right. this day and age?
So beauty pageants are important. Again, it's important to know which one you chose, right? Because number one, that's an opportunity for you to bring your platform to a much bigger audience. I mean, there are people who have built huge nonprofits that are benefiting so many people from beauty pageants because they had the boldness to step up there and say, this is what I truly believe in and this is my plan. And with the right support, it grew. However, it's been misinterpreted. Absolutely. Mm. There's a flip side of it where people think like I'm competing to be.
Objectify is the word.
Right.
Objectify.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I really think that coming in with that authentic message, and that's something that only you know. Nobody can read it.
Absolutely.
You know in your heart if your message is authentic. Personally, as a 33-year-old, a mother of two, I'm not here to be like the prettiest woman on earth. Like that doesn't really.
But you have a message.
I have a message.
And a story.
And the journey
that you want to share.
Yes.
And this is a platform that you want to use.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
What does 4th of July mean? Like as a person that served in the Army, what does that mean for you?
So that's basically, that's a big celebration, generally speaking, right? First of all, Americans love 4th of July. I feel like that's like the favorite holiday. In the Army specifically, We focus more on like Veterans Day because, again, that's very geared towards our own, right? We're taking the time to appreciate our own. 4th of July, if you ask me, is just a big barbecue thing for people to have an excuse to grill and eat.
Right.
But, again, it doesn't take away from the history behind it, the authenticity, the work that all those people put in order to give the independence that comes with the 4th of July.
Absolutely.
So,
and the things that we enjoy.
Absolutely.
Just to be enjoying the freedom.
Just being here being able to celebrate, being able to even be here as a Black woman and share my message. So I would say this, soldiers, especially soldiers in the Army, we're very passionate about what we do because the Army is one of the branches that truly tests you. Your resilience. How much can you stay out there in the field with no food, no water, away from your family? For what purpose?
Serving a greater cause than yourself.
Serving a greater cause.
Yeah.
So days like this makes you realize like, wow, it's not a waste. Days like 4th of July makes you see the beauty in everybody is free, everybody is happy. What I'm doing is adding to society and adding to the freedom
and the
of
happiness.
My family, of my kids being able to run around. Right, in just happiness. So that's the beauty of 4th of July when it comes to the military standpoint.
That was Cameroonian American Elizabeth Nintai. She was speaking with VOA's red carpet host, Jackson Mvunganye.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
A soccer academy in a Washington, D.C. suburb founded by a Togolese immigrant is changing lives and training children to be stars on and off the pitch. BOA's Arzuma Kamporari has the story from Burtonsville, Maryland.
The players of the Elite Soccer Youth Development Academy, or EZIDA, are taking the pitch with enthusiasm. Their passion for the game creates an atmosphere filled with energy and excitement.
When I play soccer, and I score goals, it makes me get trophies. And they clap for me.
Emmanuel is not the only student who wants to win, but this academy is about more than just trophies and goals. It's a platform for instilling discipline, creating lasting friendships, and fostering an openness that goes beyond the soccer field, says Emmanuel's father, Joel Wenyiglo.
We are following the direction of the coaches and organizers here. No violence, fair play. The spirit that we see should also be reflected in their future so that we can have a more unified society where there is security, harmony, and all will prosper.
As an immigrant from Togo, Coach Agbenyan Amusu, known for his nickname Fofo, started the academy 20 years ago. Amusu says his professional soccer background and unwavering commitment to youth development won the community over.
When I started ECDA 20 years ago, I faced skepticism and was called lazy. But as we studied the field and realized that soccer could be an instrument to combat poverty, delinquency, and substance abuse, perceptions began to change.
Amuzu's impact has spanned three generations of students. He says former academy students, now adults with families and careers, return every summer to help their former coaches.
Playing soccer may not guarantee millions, but it has the power to make a significant difference, changing an entire nation or community. That's what drives me. Sharing, family, children, and the well-being of others. That's what soccer has given me.
As anticipation builds towards the 2026 World Cup, the academy continues to train future soccer players, embodying the belief that the sport is not just about competition, but also about personal growth and community building. Arzuma Kampaure for VOA News, Burtonsville, Maryland.
Love hearing those voices of the kids on the field. And that wraps it up for this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mukbil Yabaro, and engineer, Zanim Abdelrahman, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.